Hey, you're listening to World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. So Instagram might have you believe that family life with young children involves vegetables that are carved to look like rocket ships in gluten-free lunchboxes, or that new moms can prance around fields holding newborn babies with no stains from grass or baby spit on their white linen dresses, right? But anybody who's actually been there knows it is a whole lot more like the cover of Sharon Van Etten's latest album, Remind Me Tomorrow, which looks like a toy cupboard threw up and a bunch of baby clothes tried to come to the rescue. Sharon chose that image. It's not hers, but she chose it to represent the beautiful chaos of her life around the making of Remind Me Tomorrow. She started writing the songs when she was pregnant, she was in school studying psychology, and she was auditioning for her first ever acting gig on a show called The OA, which just started its second season. She's in that too. Sharon's partner is also an artist, and Sharon explains why she wants their young son to see his parents struggle to achieve their dreams. Sharon has been out on tour crushing live performances, and she sent us some special recordings you will hear throughout this session, so our conversation in a minute, but we start with Sharon on stage performing the song Come Back Kid. That's a recording of a live performance Sharon Van Etten did for us of Come Back Kid from her new album. It's called Remind Me Tomorrow. Sharon, welcome back to World Cafe.
Oh, well, thanks so much for having me.
We're excited for you. The way that people are talking about this album, so much of what I've heard, and I agree with, is that this is a turning point, that this is a career changer of an album for you. How do you see it?
Well, I still see that this record is a natural progression for my other records, but I do feel like it's a leap, and I took some chances on it, and I felt that the producer John Congleton encouraged me to take these chances, and I'm excited about it. I'm proud of it, and it it definitely is a shift for me.
The tone of the album, Remind Me Tomorrow, is really interesting to me because I like the way that it lives. It feels like it lives in a sort of dark or dank, like, musical space, but then some of the material is really, like, joyful that I'm hearing, and it's sort of, it's melancholy in a different way than other stuff that I've heard from you. I don't know if that makes sense to you. That's how I feel listening to it. Does that resonate at all?
Absolutely. We consciously talked about instrumentation and the universe that we wanted these songs to live in. Number one, just I wanted to share with the audience the kind of music that I listen to that they might not know I listen to. So a lot of my post-punk section and my record collection, but also, you know, a lot of the contradiction in the sound versus the content comes from a space where, you know, when you're in a really good place and then you're talking to a friend that is kind of going through a hard time, and you kind of censor yourself because you feel guilty that you're in a better place than they are. Mm. And I just feel like I had a kid, I'm in a great space, I'm in a good relationship, and I just thinking super positively, but also in the mindset of knowing the state of the world with politics and the suffering. And I feel this overall weight to feeling all that energy around me when I'm in this little bubble of innocence with my kid and my family, and you leave the house and you feel more of that. But when you're in that little moment and you're writing and you're experiencing that, there's this whole other world around you. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to acknowledge that a little bit with the production.
Yeah. Is there a song in particular that being in that bubble with your son in this happy place inspired, or that you really think of, that comes up for you really strongly when you're performing the album?
I would say Memorial Day and Jupiter 4 are the two big ones.
Yeah, tell me a bit more about Jupiter 4 and why.
So Jupiter 4 is, you know, about being in love and being happy, but what comes with that too, you know, because even when you're in a really good place, you also know you're looking ahead, and you know, I sound so pessimistic, but even when you are in love and in a really good place, it makes you even more vulnerable. You know, when one of you gets sick, or one day one of us is going to die, but like you're looking into this future and you know that you're going to struggle. And especially when you bring a kid into that, it's like we're all going to be struggling together for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a love song to feel the weight of that eternal looming-ness.
You kind of need that stuff to make you appreciate what you have, or some people do. I think. Let's go to the stage and hear a performance that you recorded for us of the song Jupiter 4. Here we go.
Thank you.
recorded live on stage. That's Sharon Van Etten, Jupiter 4. It's a wonderful song from her new album. It's called Remind Me Tomorrow. So you wrote this album when, in part, I guess, started when you were pregnant and also in school and doing a lot of stuff. Tell me about, if it's not too personal to ask, because you mentioned a moment ago about knowing that struggle will come. What it is to start a family as two artists and to be pregnant with this kid, and you know that you have many things that you do and lots of artistic endeavors, and now also a person that's going to be part of those.
I remember I was 6 months pregnant when Trump got elected into office, and my partner was away working in Europe. So I think he was experiencing something else very surreal. And then I was home teary-eyed thinking, don't cry, because the baby's going to absorb all these emotions, and it's your job to be positive and to just not let him see any of that and protect him from all that negativity. And I feel like we're both going to be experiencing that for the rest of our lives, just trying to protect him. But I think that it's going to help him see us struggle and learn how to figure it out, because we're doing the things that we love to do that define who we are and what we believe in. And I want him to grow up watching us figure it out. And I think that's going to help his character in the end, too.
You dig back to your own personal history, I think, on the record in interesting ways, too. And I want to talk about the song 17 a little bit, which is, I really love this song.
Thanks.
It's anthemic. Just tell me a little bit about what time and place for you that comes from, other than maybe 17. Yeah.
Well, I remember when I first came up with the chorus, I was walking around a neighborhood, and I caught myself looking at a storefront or a restaurant or that had just opened, and I remember it being something else. And I was like, man, this neighborhood's changing, you know? And I was like, oh no, I'm that person. And then my mind went back in time to when I first moved to New York, and my friend Kip was walking me around Williamsburg trying to convince me to move to Brooklyn. And I remember him saying, you know, civilizations throughout time rise and fall. And he had done the same thing as he was giving me a tour of the neighborhood, just places that are opening, places that are closing. He's like, this is just going to happen. And it was his way of comforting me, but probably comforting himself a little bit too, because he's been there longer than me. And so I just remember being caught in that circle of, I've lived somewhere long enough to see those kinds of changes. And, you know, even like where I grew up, like a place that I used to work called Round Valley Reservoir in New Jersey, and the main street where I played at this coffee shop that used to be called Danny and Johnny's, and now it's a hot dog store or something. Just stuff like that where, you know, it's life, it's how things are, but it's also a big part of who I am and where I came from, and it meant a lot to me to pursue.
Yeah. Let's go to the stage and hear a performance that you recorded for us. Here we go.
I
Sharon Van Etten is my guest here on World Cafe, and that's a performance she recorded for us live on stage of 17 from her new album. It's called Remind Me Tomorrow. So I have to ask, like, when you started out with your debut album in 2009, Because I Was in Love, such a huge part of your story, I think, became being the ambassador of heartache for people. Like, you were really upfront in talking about this relationship that you had been in where the person that you were with didn't support you as an artist, and you had to overcome that. So I'm wondering how that ties in with where you're at now, because you seem like you're in such a wonderful place and so confident. But is that the kind of thing that you ever get over, or is that something that's with you at this point in your career too?
You know, that's a very good question. I think it's something I think about from time to time. I think you're always that person. But, you know, I started going back to school the last few years very part-time, intermittently, in between all the other things I'm doing and in pursuing psychology. I've gotten to take a few classes that have made me think about the concept of how important your past is. And there are some styles of therapy where they say your past is so important and that's where it all begins. And then there's some that say you live in the present but you acknowledge the past and you move forward. And then there's some styles of therapy where you only talk about right now and you make a plan on how to move forward. And I'm in the point in my life where I feel like I wouldn't be the person I am if I hadn't had to go through all of that. And I acknowledge it. But I think it's the moving on while acknowledging without living in it. Because I think a lot of sadness comes from dwelling in the past, and a lot of anxiety comes from looking too far ahead. So being as present as you can, for me, is where I try to be. Yeah. And especially with having a kid, I feel like that makes you be in the present more than ever. And so when I think about that time, even though there is some sadness, because, you know, when you think about a younger self, you want to hug them, you want to help them through it, but you also wouldn't be who you were without the struggle. I think the struggle is so important.
Yeah. I also want to pick up on something else that you said earlier at the start of our conversation, like about the musical treatment of this album and being conscious of, like you described, when you're in a really good place and you know that a friend of yours is not in that good of a place and you don't want to be like, everything's so great over here, like you sort of temper it. And I'm wondering, I guess, coming back around, whether that's something that you feel like you have to do for your fans as well, fans of your music, because I think so many people's entry point to you is that you help them get over stuff, or mm-hmm. or you help them sit where they needed to sit in feeling a certain way, mm-hmm. and that maybe now you have to measure how glad you can go. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
I understand that in a very similar way of the friend scenario. And I think the way I think I'm going to approach it, and again, this is still new, I think fans that did connect with those early albums so deeply still will. And hopefully seeing where I am now will give them even more hope, because you do get through it. And it helped me getting that out and releasing it and sharing it and connecting with other people that helped me continue to pursue music and continue to better myself and continue to challenge myself and try new things. And in doing so, I met my partner, I fell in love, and it helped me learn how to try new things and open up in this whole other way, and allowing myself to be even more vulnerable, even after all that heartbreak, and to have something even better come out of it. Hopefully it just gives people more hope.
Yeah. Well, we have one more live song to go out on. It's Stay. Do you want to tell us anything about this one before we hop over to it?
So this song started off being a love song to my partner before I got pregnant, and then I was listening to the demo version of it while I was about 8 or 9 months pregnant, thinking about the future, and I felt my little one kicking while I was trying to write lyrics, and all of a sudden I had this projector image onto my wall, kind of a hallucinogenic kind of experience of thinking about all the things that I wanted for him and all of the things that I wanted to teach him. And it turned into a love song about my kid as opposed to my lover and all of the things that I wanted for him.
Thanks for that, Sharon. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thanks for wanting to talk to me. It's nice to be back in Philly.
Good. I think they really liked hearing what she had to do on stage. All those people clapping. Sharon Van Etten performing Stay on tour. That's from her latest album, Remind Me Tomorrow. She did a whole bunch of touring in North America and in Europe. She's on a break for, like, I think a few weeks to hang with that family that you heard her talk about, and then back out on the road. So make sure you catch her if you can. She's really at a spectacular point in her performing career. And we're so proud of her. Thanks, Sharon, for being a guest on the show. Really appreciate you. I'm Talia Schlanger, and you are listening to The World Cafe from NPR.